1 Peter chapter number 5. We're going to just read, we'll start in verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you just for a beautiful morning that you give us this morning. And Lord, we was praying earlier this week about some cooler temperatures for today, with the young people being on the buses for extended periods of time. And Lord, thank you for answering that prayer. Thank you for allowing it to be cooler this morning and allowing us to have a great morning. Thank you for the young people that came on the buses. God, I pray that you just bless us and help us this morning as we expose the devil. And maybe just, it's nothing these folks don't know. It's just, Lord, it's a reminder. It's a caution. It's a warning. And Lord, I pray that we be vigilant. Help us to be sober. Help us to be attentive. Lord, thank you for all that you do. And Lord, I thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter chapter number 5, the Bible gives us a warning. Verse number 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The word adversary is two words, means to anti and to oppose right or righteousness, just or justified. And you know, the devil, obviously the devil opposes righteousness. He opposes the justified. And that if you're saved, that's everyone in this room. If you're a born-again believer, that's you. And we have an enemy. We have the devil is our enemy, and everybody knows that. And, you know, the devil has a lot of tricks. The devil has a lot of things. But none of them, I don't believe that any of them are new, all right? The devil uses the same things. The sad part is as Christians, many times we fall for the same things that generations ago they fell exactly for the same thing, okay? Now, it's changed forms, okay? But it's not, the truth and the principle of it has not changed. You know, when Satan came to Adam, and he engaged her in a seemingly innocent conversation, he began to question God, and he began to question God's word. And that's still where people are at today. They're questioning God. They don't take God as the final authority. They don't take God as being supreme and being who God really is. Isn't that the whole problem with Satan? You know, it's when Lucifer was in heaven and Lucifer said, "I will be like the Most High. I want that position." And we've talked about that before in Sunday school, about how man has become very much like Lucifer in the fact that we want to be God. You know, humanism, the worship of our, you know, we do what we want to, is the largest religion, if you would, in the world. And so we see that in the way that the devil works. And I read this, and honestly, I thought it was on the backboard for maybe a couple of services. And I don't know who put it up there, but I thought it was good. I haven't listened to everything he's ever written and ever said, but everybody's heard of, this is your, probably more in your era, Paul Harvey. Everybody knows Paul Harvey. And Paul Harvey had some really very, in, you know, 1960s, 1965 is when he said this, very insightful things into where America was heading and the path that America was heading down. And he wrote this, "If I were the devil," and I'm going to read this to you, and many of you have seen this, have heard this. "If I were the prince of darkness, I would want to engulf the whole world in darkness. If I had a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, I would not be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, which is thee. So I would set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first, and I would begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, 'Do as you please.' To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince the children that man created God instead of the other way around. I'd confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, 'Our Father, which art in Washington.' Then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest." Cut it off. "I'd tranquilize the rest with something." Starts with a P. "If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellect but neglect disciplined emotions. I'd tell teachers to tell those students to run at will. And before you knew it, you'd have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse. With a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing and judges promoting pornography. Soon I would evict God from courthouse and schoolhouse and then from the houses of Congress. In his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I'd lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. What you'll bet, I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I'd convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, and that what you see on television is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public and lure you into bed with diseases for which there are no cures. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing." And it's pretty amazing. I mean, that was in 1965. And, you know, he had the insight. And, you know, I believe he's a Christian man, okay? You don't write things like that when, as, you know, a worldly man. But, you know, we think about where our world's come from. You know, and I was born in 1987. So I've missed a lot of that, where that your generation saw the change, saw the shift from living godly and where everyone went to church. And if not everyone was a Christian, everyone at least had respect for the Christian. And now we've got this whole society that is not, you know, they have no respect. It's amazing. You can talk to a third or fourth grader, all right, and they completely scoff at God. They completely scoff at anything Christian. Where is that? Well, it's come back to, honestly, the lies that the devil has been permeating into our school systems, permeating, honestly, through the television, okay? And there again, you said, "Bro Chad, you're always hitting on television and the internet." Well, okay, everyone, you know, I believe the devil is the prince and power of the air. And if we study that, okay, I believe that he in a very special way, has control of what goes on the airwaves, what comes in through, you know, we've put an access hole in every one of our homes. You know, not too long ago, I remember Pastor Robert Ross standing up here, and he'd preach against internet, hard against internet. Well, and then everybody kind of started justifying. And listen, I do use it, but to me, it's a tool, okay? But then we started justifying, well, okay, but this is okay. And this is okay. And this is okay. And now we turn on the television, you know, and how many of us would go to Carlisle or go to the state penitentiary and invite a child molester into the house, and you'd invite a murderer into your house, and you would invite, you name it, all right, a drug dealer into your house. And, well, I wouldn't do that, but yet we'll go to the Red Box, and you don't even have to do that anymore. I mean, it comes in via Netflix and via all these different things, and we sit down and we watch. Not only do we invite them into our house, but we're watching what they're doing. And that's where we're at in today's society. I'm not saying you do it, but I'm saying the world in general has invited that into our homes. And we just got to be careful, because if we're not careful, the devil very slowly starts putting these things in. And we start accepting it on the little degree, and then it just keeps growing and growing. And things that used to be, my mom would, oh my goodness, you can't watch that. I still remember, I think there's in all guys that thing that you kind of like to watch. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, all right? And my mom never would. And, I love my mom. And she's back there. I don't know. She's probably not listening to me anyway. So they don't listen back there. They just talk. So, but my, I'm kidding. My mom, she was like, she thought like boxing was like, the end of the world as far as, but there's something in every guy, I think, that just likes to watch two guys just slug it out. And all you ladies are like, oh, that's so disturbing. Well, but that was violent. That was violent. Well, how many people when you was in school and two guys were fighting, okay, everybody turned their back and wouldn't watch. No, that was fight, 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 fight. And everybody's running around and, oh, come on, you can, Well, there's just something I think about guys that, and then they get up and they shake hands and they're good, all right? Now, a cat fight, a fight between girls, that's a whole nother level of ferocity, all right? That's something you don't want to mess with. So, but where, we've gone from, okay, it used to be, and I'm just going to use this as an illustration. Okay, it used to be, you had the gym maces, and they didn't even televise it, okay? But you had championship boxers, and it was a sport, and it was something that they did, okay? And then, but now look how you've progressed, okay? Think about where we're at now, all right? Now you've got World Wrestling Federations, and it's, I'm not saying that you should, I'm not going to turn the television on and watch, boxing. Okay, I'm not going to do it. You know why? All right? Because of all the other junk and all the other stuff on there. And, it's indecency, all right? They can put a shirt on. They can do that. They can box in a shirt. I've boxed in a shirt before, okay? And I dislocated my shoulder while I was boxing. And my mom never let me live that down because she told me not to do that. So, you're going to get hurt. I'm like, Mom, it's okay. Well, you shouldn't be doing this. And then I dislocate my shoulder. I told you so. I told you should not be doing that. So, but where have we gotten? Look at where we've gotten. What used to be something that, people did behind the behind the building to see who was, okay, all of you guys at some point have probably been in a fight, okay? And that's just part of growing up. I've been in fights with young people that I grew up with, okay? And I'm good friends with them now, okay? It's just part of life. Now, I'm not saying that that's what God wants us to do, okay? Now, I know there's Bible principles against fighting, but I think David was a pretty good fighter, okay? And you can go to a lot of things in the Bible where God talked about the fighting. I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm just talking about where has what used to be something that was probably okay, and look at where it is now. Okay, and that's what I'm talking about. And you look at we've glorified death. I mean, you look at the top movie things. We've glorified the death. We've glorified the sensuality and the desire for the flesh. What is that? The devil is just coming in. And very slowly, very subtly, I preached about, not too long ago, I talked about the wedge. And the wedge doesn't start out very big. It starts out very little, and he just drives it in one peck at a time. But the force and the separation it causes is tremendous. And so the devil tells us these lies. The devil roars. We see in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." One of the things that's neat about taking the young people, and if, you know, Brother Jeff, we was praying the other morning, and he prayed specifically that God would allow the lions to roar. Because there's just something about a lion roaring. I mean, you can feel it in your chest. I mean, it's just I don't know the tone or what it is, but it's kind of, I mean, I know the animals are in cages, okay? And I know that they theoretically can't get to me, okay? But can you imagine being out there and there is no cage and you're being hunted by one of these animals, okay? And you hear the roar. And you know, the devil has put the roar. I mean, you can hear the roar anymore. You know, wasn't it over in Exodus when Moses and Joshua came down off the mountain that Joshua said, "I hear the shout." The people shouted, and Joshua said, "It is the noise of war." And Moses said, "No, it's not the noise of war, but the voice of those that sing and those that dance. That's the voice. That's the noise that we hear." And honestly, I wish I had the time. We've in our team training hour, we've done a whole series on music, and I don't know who and what your stand. I think most people in here probably listen to good music, okay? But you don't realize what the world has done to infiltrate, even in our Christian circles. What you think is, "Oh, Brother Chad, that's just a country song. It's no big deal." I can show you from the Word of God, and I can show you principles out of the Word of God that would say otherwise. And the beat, it's just about the word. But the Brother Chad, the words are good. Well, listen, all right? Just because I label something, I label rat poison to be, you know, and I put the words, you know, chocolate chips on it, all right? It's still poison. I can change the words to whatever I want them to say, but it's still poison, okay? And you know, the devil, I'm going to get carried away here, but the devil, in through the music, the roar, okay? Listen, the beat, all right, our God's created us, the flesh, there's the spirit and the flesh, okay? Do you know what the beat is? All right, Brother Bud can tell you this. Music is divided in three different parts. You've got the rhythm, you got the melody, and you got the harmony, okay? And the rhythm, you know what that part of that speaks to you? Is your flesh, okay? It's your flesh. That's what the rhythm speaks to, is your flesh. The harmony speaks to your mind. The melody, the Bible says in Ephesians, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. The melody is what speaks to your spirit, okay? If you have those out of order, which rock music does, what does rock music emphasize? The beat, okay? Country music, what does it emphasize? The beat, okay? And what the devil does is he makes our flesh desire that, because it does. Our flesh is a very rhythmic thing. You know, what do you have inside you right here? A heart, and it does what? Beats. That's what your flesh does. And so your flesh has a desire for that beat. All right, that's why it's so appealing to most young people and appealing to adults, because it appeals to the flesh. The first singers that started coming out, I don't know who's in here. I don't know what you listen to. Okay, I'm just warning. I'm standing up here warning you, because I'm exposing a trick of the devil. All right, the Elvis Presleys. You know what they emphasized? Okay, they emphasized the beat. And then they coupled with that beat, voice inflections, and I can prove this to you, the voice inflections that they used made the audience feel like he was talking to you. All right, and I can show you this in country music. All right, it's amazing. I wish you would have sat in the team, because when you start talking about this, and I can point out things that they're doing, all right, they're talking to you. They're trying to get your heart. Why are they trying to get your heart? Why is, okay, when you have a concert and all the people, you know, the actor or whoever, the singers are coming down, all right, you've got this male country music singer, and all these ladies are lining the thing, and they just want to touch him. They want his autograph. Why? Because they think that what they, you know, well, he's singing to me. He was talking to me. No, he's not. He's talking to your pocketbook. That's exactly what he's talking. He doesn't care about, he doesn't recognize you from any of the others. And there, in rock music, okay, girls would give themselves, their purity, themselves, to a rock music singer who could care less for them, okay? It's just satisfying his flesh, it's satisfying his lust, but they think because of the way he sings that he's singing to them. That they're the one that's going to, you know, he's just going to stop dead in his tracks as he's walking down the aisle and look at them. Oh my goodness, you're the one I've been singing to my whole life. No, he has, all he wants is the money. Okay? But where does that all come back to? It comes back to the beat. And that beat is permeating. And then they throw in the body movements. Okay? You ever wondered, this puzzles me, and if you really think about it, it has no sense, Brother Tommy. Why do they make music, listen to this, why do they make music videos? Think about that one. Why do they make music videos? There's whole channels on TV, that's all it is music videos. Isn't music something that comes through your ears? Right? So why are they making music videos? Because they're appealing to the flesh. So they're not only combining the beat, which is what the devil wants, they're not only combining the beat, but they're also combining the visual. So it's coming in the ear gates, it's coming in the eye gates, and it appeals to our hearts. Okay? And we could take 6 weeks and teach about this. But I am very passionate about, listen, rock music and country music is destroying our nation, our kids, okay? And if you're not careful, well, I've just listened to this my whole life, okay? And how has it helped you? Has it strengthened? Remember, the beat's what strengthens the flesh. I have a friend that he does these Christian walks. Well, I'll just tell you. They're Christian walks, okay? And he's like, well, we go in and we'll sing these songs, okay, that's got beat, contemporary Christian music that's got the beat, and then we preach to them about Jesus. Okay, I'm sorry, but you cannot strengthen the flesh and have the flesh strong where the kids are wanting to express their physical, okay, and they want to be physical in it. And then you can't come in and you can minister to the spirit. All right? Only one thing wins, the flesh or the spirit. And you can't feed the flesh and then expect the spirit to win. All right? Now I'm just giving you kind of a shot in the dark, because listen, you got to be careful. Well, I turn it on every once in a while in my car. You're hurting yourself. You have no idea, because what the devil does is, okay, with the beat, well, Brother Chad, the words don't matter. The words do matter. You just said the words don't matter. No, the words do matter. But what matters more importantly is the beat. So if the beat is communicating to me, I subconsciously, listen to this, it's studied, it's science. I subconsciously listen to the words and they impact me because I'm already listening to the beat. I've studied it. I know what I'm talking about. Okay? There's a reason. I could bring quotes up here from men that are country music singers, that are rock singers, and they can tell you the beat is where it's at. If I can play the beat, they'll respond to the beat, and I can communicate things through them through the beat. All right, you got to be careful. You got to be careful about this, and maybe sometime Lord allows us, we'll go into that some more. But you know, it's a big deal for these young people. You know, don't be a stumbling block. You know, if you've got grandkids or you got kids, and you know, don't be a stumbling block to them as far as that. You know, when they come in, we've got young people right now in the youth group that struggle with music. I'm not downing them. Okay, that's a very real thing. And then they got to go into these environments. I was blessed growing up that I can go into most places and just tune it out. I really can. I mean, it doesn't bother me. And I'm not embarrassing my wife, but my wife didn't grow up the same way I did. Okay? We don't go to very many ball games. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the songs that she used to listen to when she was growing up, now she doesn't anymore. At least when I'm not home, all right? No, she doesn't anymore. But the songs that she used to listen to growing up, you know, those are the songs that they play at ball games. And when she goes to a thing or goes to a store sometimes, and I've got young people, I was sitting across from a young man. I took a young man out to eat, and we were talking, one of our teenagers, and I was sitting across the table from him, and we're sitting there eating, and I'm just kind of, we're just kind of chit-chatting, and he just kind of looks at me, and I'm like, what? He's like, I know the words to this song. I know every word to this song. To me, I was just, I'm eating Subway or whatever, cheeseburger. I don't know what's going on. But you realize how his mind had shifted. Look, see how controlling that is? How your mind had shifted from that into a whole different, he knew the words to the song. He knew the message that song was trying to bring across. So the devil has this roar. He's got this thing that he's always pushing an agenda through the television, the sitcoms, the technology. All of this stuff is an agenda that the devil is pushing. And if we're not careful, we let this in our ear gates. And then a lot of times we watch it on TV and it comes through our eye gates. And all of it is an attack by the devil. Okay? And there may be some things that you struggle with that I don't. There may be some things I struggle with that you don't. But that's how the devil does things. You know, I was fishing one day and there's a lake over by Lars, and I was fishing and I had my tackle box with me, and there was this log, okay, and you could actually, it was like one of those perfect, for those of you that fish, it's like one of those perfect spots, like there's got to be a fish like waiting right there, Brother Don. And so I get my fishing pole out and I cast over there. Beautiful. I mean, I should have been on the pro circles, I mean, fishings, but I cast this over there and it drops in a perfect spot. And that fish come up, and it, you know, the water swirled, and you're like, oh yeah, got this thing. And I tried to set the hook, and it let it go. I'm like, man, that's crazy. I mean, it's perfect. I was using a purple worm with a pink tail. I remember. Okay, that's because that's what I always use. So I cast out there again, and it did the same thing. I mean, it swirled, and I thought it hit that thing for sure. So I was going to set the hook, miss it again. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna change. So you know what I did? I opened my tackle box, and I picked a different lure, something that looked just a little bit different. I think it was actually a mouse. It was a weedless lure, but it was a mouse. Okay, now this is crazy. So I threw that mouse out there, and I threw it out there because, you know, you think a mouse coming off the bank, all right? I threw that mouse out there. It was a good, decent cast again. It plopped there, And that fish came, I could see it, the water's real clear. That fish come up and it, because that mouse floats on the surface, that fish come up and you could see it watching that mouse. But it wouldn't bite it. It was like it knew something wasn't right. So I'm like, well, I'm real close. I'm probably from me to Brother Cinders from where I'm fishing, okay? So I was real close, so I cast it again, but this time I cast it over the log. Now, I know you're not supposed to do this, but I really wanted to catch that fish at this point. So I cast it over the log. And then I just started easing it back up out of the water and put it back down in the water like it was trying to jump up out of the water. I was kind of bobbing it. And you know what? That fish came up and it bit that. But the only problem was is now I'm over the log. And I had a fish hooked over the log. So I had to go over there and I had to unhook it off of that log and everything. Richard, why'd you tell us this? You know, the devil has a tackle box full of lures. And there's some things that... He knows that, okay, this is a weak spot for them, all right? Men, you know the devil can see where you look. He don't know necessarily what you think, but he can see what, you know, you're driving down the road and there's a billboard, or you're driving, you know, you're on the computer and something comes up on the computer, or you're on TV and there's a commercial, and he knows what you looked at. And if I know a fish bit once and missed it, and maybe a fish bit twice and missed it, I may just keep using the same lure because I know it's got an appetite for that. And the devil knows the appetites that we have. And we got to be careful, all right? We got to be careful because if we're not careful, one of those appetites, I don't know if I've told the story about my snapping turtle story, but you know, one of those appetites is going to have a hook in it. And then all it's over at that point. I don't think most people that get into sin really mean to get into sin. Good Christians that get into sin don't mean to get into sin. It's not like a premeditated, well, 5 years from now, I'm not going to be in church. I'm going to be divorced. I'm going to be this. They don't think that. What is that? It's just something that they didn't see. They had an appetite. And so we got to be careful. The devil has these things that he does. You know, God wants us, the world brings all this noise, all the media, all this stuff, and it bombards our ears. It's the roar. You know that God tells us the opposite. God tells us to be still. Psalms chapter number 46, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Mark chapter number 4, this is the story of the disciples when they're out on the boat. And the Bible says there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and said to him, Master, carest not thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And, you know, the Bible has this, God has this calm. The world wants to bombard us with all the television, all the music. You go by anybody, almost anybody that's working. When's the last time you saw a person mowing without earbuds in? Now, I mow with earplugs, but I don't. They wear earbuds. Everybody listens to something all the time. They do. All right? You go through Walmart, and everybody's got earbuds in, or everybody's on their phone. Okay? When's the last time you just sat and was still? Sat and let God talk to you. Sat and let God speak to you. So we see that the devil is our enemy. The devil roars. The devil is on the move. Satan is not omnipresent. You know, Satan does have limitations. He is not God. And sometimes we give him the status, I think, of God. All right? But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And you said, Brother Chad, I've got some issues that I have to deal with. I've got things that I struggle with. I'm just being transparent with you, okay? I have things I struggle with. But you know, if I allow the Holy Spirit to work in me and work through me, okay, that's where the power comes to beat something. And you know where else the power comes to beat something? By the desire, this is just, you know, something else, but by the desire to have something else. And what I mean by that is, you know, our teenagers are praying for this youth rally. And they're working, they're praying, and you know, they've given up some stuff. They're fasting. I've got teenagers that are fasting, okay? That's a challenge to all of us, all right? If I got teenage girls that are fasting, that are crying because they want to see God do something, and they want to see a certain young lady come to church, that's pretty cool, okay? So, but what is that? You know what fasting simply is? Fasting is giving up something in order to obtain something else. That's basically what it is. It's denying the flesh what the flesh wants in order to allow the Spirit to be stronger to get what the Spirit wants. And they're fasting. The Bible said, this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. What was it talking about? Spiritual warfare is what it was talking about. Because the child with the devil and the disciples said, we couldn't cast him out. All right? And Jesus said, this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. And it's a challenge to me. All right? It's a challenge to me. I've got young ladies in our youth group that get up every morning and read their Bible. Every morning. And that pray every morning. I've got young men that read their Bible every morning and that pray every morning. Okay? Well, Brother Chad, it's just not real. Who says? You know, the most people that say it's not real are the people that don't do it themselves. I'm just throwing that out there. Devil's on the move. I got off on that. Satan is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time. Okay? He can't be. But most of the time, the devil's not, honestly, hate to break it to you, but the devil's not worried about me. Okay? The devil's not worried about most Christians. He can send some little minion over there to cause enough problems to distract most Christians. Wouldn't it be a blessing if our church was to the place spiritually that it caused not just the demonic minions of the devil, but it caused the devil himself some concern? Hey, what's going on? Brother Chad, you're just painting a target on us. Well, I read a story about a sniper in I think it was World War II, and the general was walking through the trenches and he was checking with the troops, and all of a sudden a shot rang out, and the general ducked, and he said, "Where'd that come from?" And one of the sergeants come up and he said, "Oh, it's this guy up on this hill up here. He's been shooting all day." And the general said, "Well, why haven't you sent a mortar up there and blown him to bits?" And the sergeant said, "Well, he hasn't hit anything yet. So we're afraid that if we blow him up, they'll actually send somebody in that can hit something." You know, isn't that, I think the devil sometimes is like, they're not causing any damage, so why should I bother them? All right? And if we live our lives that way, I think that's discredit to us as Christians. But the devil has a headquarters. The Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 2, the Bible talks about his seat, and so wherever the devil's seat is. Satan can only be in one place at one time. Now there was a day when the sons of God, Job, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the devil seeks out the vulnerable. You know, a lion attacks those that are weakest. Lion attacks those that are weak. You know who else? And you're going to take it however you take it. But, the devil, the two groups that the devil attacks are the young and the old. All right? That is. I mean, a lion attacks the young. I'm not saying he doesn't attack the middle age, but a lot of times the lion attacks the young and he attacks the old. Those that might have a weakness, those that may have something that they're struggling with. And so I just want to caution you. I want to challenge you. Pray for one another. Pray for the young people. The devil devours. The devours a man's soul. We got to hurry. Devours a man's soul. Devours a Christian's testimony. Devours a Christian's time. Devours a Christian's temperament. And we don't have time to go through all that. But just be careful. I just want to expose some of the things that the devil does. Be careful about your music. I know I've spent maybe a little more time on that than I intended to, but be careful the things that you just have always, I've always listened to that. Be careful, because it can hurt you more than what you will realize. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, I had 3 pages of notes, and I think we got through one. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just help us to recognize the devil for what he is. Help us to recognize, expose the enemy. And Lord, he's not going to like that. He's not going to like the next time somebody listens to something or watches something that the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you convict and convict my heart, Lord, where I need to be better. God, I pray that you help us the rest of the day, help pastors, he preaches. Father, thank you for this class. Thank you for those that are faithful, that have just withstood the wiles of the devil through these years. Lord, I pray that you bless us the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.